The inspiration for the songs because of you. The inspiration for the songs because of you. The inspiration for the songs because of you. You. It's for you.
Can you sing it with me, baby?
Can you sing it with me? Yeah.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Relationshipology right here on JQLM Radio, a division of Ego Entertainment Network. And y'all know we got a fire show for y'all tonight, of course, as always. But before we get into that, we have to get formalities out of the way and have a few announcements to make before we get into this topic. So if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to share with your family, friends, and followers and all the different ways that they can tune in to JQLM Radio or the show, this is what you would share. If you'd like to share with your family, friends, and followers on all the different ways that they can tune in to JQLM Radio, this is what you would share. You can tune in live by downloading the JQLM Radio app on your Apple or Android devices. You can also listen live via Alexa, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, and a host of other platforms, of which you can find on our website, where you can also listen live at egoentertainmentnet.com/JQLM-radio. Or just visit egoentertainmentnet.com and click the button right there on the homepage. You can also connect with us via our website or social media at JQLM Radio. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Additionally, you can email us at jqlmradio@gmail.com. Find us under our parent company, Ego Entertainment Network, on social media at EGOENTNET. That's Ego Ent Net. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at Ego Entertainment Network. And last but not least, make sure you like, subscribe, and share our YouTube channel, Ego TV Network. All right, all right, all right. Now, real quick, before we get into this topic, y'all. So just a couple of announcements. First and foremost, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who rock with Ego Entertainment Network as a whole. No matter what division you support, we absolutely love you. Okay. And shout out to all of our JQLM Radio listeners who has been holding it down. Y'all, we are holding strong between 7,600 and 8,300 listeners weekly. Listen, y'all are super dope. All right. Invite your family, friends, and followers to tune into JQLM Radio, because y'all know you don't ever have to touch that dial. We start out with the gospel, then head into the R&B, hip hop, pop. We got the neo soul and things that sort of going on at night. And then, of course, the hip hop mix along with some old school hip hop, too, as you work for y'all third shifters. Listen, we got something for everybody, and not to mention all of the dope shows. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, tuning in, participating. This year, we are opening back up the lines, okay, the radio station line, so you can call in and be a part of the shows. Y'all know y'all love that, and we'll be doing some giveaways. We got some sponsors, and Karen, oh, look, the whole nine is going down, okay, launching this spring. So shout out to all of you listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Again, we have been holding down strong between 7,500 to 8,300 listeners weekly. We're averaging, that's our average. So we're averaging anywhere between 30 to 70,000 listeners monthly. Listen, y'all are super dope. All right. We want to go terrestrial. We all about providing good and great entertainment and great conversation. All right. Y'all know we keep it real, raw, and relevant over here, along with the dope music. So yeah. So I wanted to shout out to our listeners, because you all are important. We wouldn't be where we are without you all. And I'm so glad that you all enjoy the content that we put out. So let's get into it. Of course, your host tonight, as always, is myself, Lady J, and we can't hear you, Keith.
Hold up. There we go. Here I am. Your boy, Keith Omo. What up? I'm happy to be back.
Listen. It ain't nothing like it. So y'all are tuning in to Relationshipology, of course. So our topic tonight is love on the spectrum. I know some of you have watched this show. Okay. Keith brought this to my attention. I've only seen clips. I haven't watched the entire show, but Love on the Spectrum. Should we be following, you know, that example? Are we doing it wrong? Like, that's what we're talking about tonight. So Keith, go ahead. Get off.
I was introduced to this show this past weekend. And basically what the show is if people aren't familiar with the spectrum, they talk about autism. And they're talking about autistic people, you know, searching for love. Mm-hmm. And me personally, I truly believe, like, if you just watch one episode, I swear, there's no way you cannot watch one episode and not feel joyful. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel joyful, you feel hopeful. Like, there is no way you can watch an episode of Love on a Spectrum and not be like, yo, they got it right. Because all they're looking for is what we all should be looking for, is somebody who's compatible to them, somebody who, you know, have the same kind of similarities, you know, someone with a purpose, somebody who is selfless in wanting to be a partner and a, you know, confidant to each other. And right. I just think it's so dope that that's all they want. They just want to, I really want a companion through life. And they can care less about if you make six figures or where you work, how you work. As long as you're just productive and a kind person, that's all they care about. And they're so brutally honest because, I mean, I don't know if, you know, for people who've never been around autistic people, like, they're brutally honest like children are. Yeah. You know, a kid will tell you the truth in a heartbeat, boy. They don't care if your feelings are hurt or not. And that's kind of how they are on spectrum. Like, not to, you know, say they're childlike, but it's just the brutal honesty. Like, they'll be like, hey, I don't feel a love connection here, but I like you as a friend. Can we still be friends? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they literally be friends.
Right. Now, we also have to take into account, though, that some people who are autistic, now there are different ends of the spectrum. Some are high functioning, some are not. And then there are some who are unable to actually show, let's say, authentic emotion. They mimic what others do. And so when it comes, and knowing people who are autistic myself and being around people who are autistic, you know, you have different, you know, levels on the spectrum. And so those who are very high functioning, like the ones on this show, you know, they are able to gauge those things. Now, I want to say too, even though I haven't seen any clips with individuals with Down syndrome dating, they too are extremely loving people. If you want to know how to exhibit true, authentic, like agape love, they would be the ones to follow.
So, I love this show. It is now one of my new favorite shows. Like, there's no way you can watch this show and not find joy. If you can't find joy in watching this show, you somebody who just don't like happiness.
So let me ask you this, because we only got an hour. We got to get it all in. Let me ask you this. When looking at the show and how we date versus how those on the spectrum are dating, as it pertains to the show. And shout out to Adrian. Hey, I see you tuning in.
Hey.
And all of you who are tuning in Radio Land. So those watching how we date, right? So when we date, we see somebody, we, you know, ooh, she fine, or ooh, he fine, he look good, or look at what he driving, or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, you shoot your shot, maybe exchange numbers and things of that sort. So based on how we date versus how they date, what do you think is the difference in the initial meeting? And is their example better than what we do when we initially meet someone who we may be interested in?
There's no hidden agendas. That's the first thing I noticed right out the gate by watching this show. There are absolutely no hidden agendas. Like, they genuinely both want the same thing. I want to find someone that is compatible to me, that understands me, that's willing to learn with me, that's willing to go through life with me. That's right. Like, I mean, that's really like the baseline for all of them. Like, for people who've never seen the show, I'm going to kind of explain it a little bit. The show is, they find a handful of people that they kind of, you know, circle around. So like my favorite person to watch on this show, his name is Connor. I love this dude. He is so good. You know, so like his spectrum, he is so energetic. He could be all over the place. But the young lady that he's dating now, mm-hmm. she is so dope for him. They complement each other very well. Like, it's a show. You have to see the show.
So hold on. So how did they meet though? Well, I want to know what is the difference in their initial meeting versus ours?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's the same. So like they have a dating coach, you know what I'm saying? A kind of matchmaker a little bit. And, you know, put them together. They go on speed dates.
Okay.
They do a lot of
speed dating, and they have a matchmaker. Now I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of us out here, the people who be matchmaking us. No, absolutely not. Those who be playing matchmaker, no, absolutely not. Because most of us, if we're being honest, if we are set up by somebody we know, most of us are, well, let me back up. So, a lot of us are set up by people that we know. Either somebody done whispered in their ear saying, hey, what about your friend over here? Like, let them know that I like them or something. Or you going to your friend or your, you know, family member, they're like, hey, I got this homeboy, I got this homegirl, you know, I think it'd be dope for you. And 9 times out of 10, it ain't really a good match. Now, I mean, I think I've only been matched with one person that I actually married, but that it turned out right. That was my first husband. So, but I, you know, we got 2 beautiful kids, you know, so children, and yeah, and that's it. So, okay, so they go on speed dates, they have a matchmaker. Now, when they are dating though, are they left on their own when they're dating? Are there specific set of questions that they ask while on the date? No
one. They're left on their own. No one's there with them. It's just them two on a date. I love this show. Like, this is my new. I tell you, this is one of my top 5 shows out right now. I promise you, it is one of the top 5 shows. Like, okay, for anybody that know me, they know my show was Suits and Snowfall. This is kind of up there with it. I love me some Suits. I love me some Snowball. And I also got to throw this in, too. I absolutely love Law & Order. I've always been a Law & Order fan. But this show right here, like, anybody know me, know I don't do reality shows at all. This is the perfect reality show because they can't be scripted. You cannot script the opposite person, really. You just can't script them. Because they're going to say whatever emotion they feel. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm telling you, you got to see my boy.
Okay, Greg said they don't send a representative. I want us to stay on topic because we got to get through everything.
They don't. Let's see. You're right.
Let's see. Yeah, they don't send a representative. So what questions are different that they ask, or do they ask any questions on the dates that
listen, they ask all the questions that we ask for the most part. Outside of finding out what someone has, they ask all the right questions on who they are. See, I think all too often we get caught up in, you know, what someone has. You're like, what do you work at? What do you do? Okay, fine. You know, where do you live? Do you live on the east side, west side? Do you live in a house? Do you live in an apartment? Do you live in a townhome? Do you live in a condo? Like, people will ask about what it is that you have.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the difference then is that they ask who the person is. So what we should be asking is background or character questions, in essence. And it looks like Keith is having a little bit of technical issues. But so, yeah. Okay. When dating, we should be asking background or character questions, right? To get to know what type of individual the person is. However, there are some questions that we should not ask. Because a lot of people can pretend to be, you know what I'm saying? So, pretend to be what we desire based off of the questions that they're asking. And I think there's a polite way to redirect the conversation when somebody asks, like, what are you looking for, you know what I'm saying, in a man, or what are you looking for in a woman? Those are the questions that you don't ask, right? Because I'm not going to give you a rundown so you can then,
you can emulate.
Exactly. So, with this show, Love on the Spectrum, because they don't have any underlying motives or hidden agendas, and they are not sending a representative. They are actually being themselves. Now, not to say that people who are out here dating nobody, you know, is themselves, but it's a very, very small percentage of people who date and are themselves and don't send a representative. So when they are doing that, when they do find a love connection, curious to know if you have run into that, what does that look like? Because I did watch where Tanner, I think his name is Tanner. He was on the show and he got to meet Jack Black. And they asked him about the young lady that was interested in him. And she asked, like, he was like, yeah, she asked me to be her boyfriend, but I said no. Like, now, if a woman asked you to be her man and you just outright said no, and then that was it, like, you ain't, they want an explanation and they want, to be hot, right? But, and because that's a lot funny. Of us, and no is a complete sentence. Like, I don't have to explain to you, you're not going to ask me for an explanation if I say yes, right? So why do I need to give you an explanation when I say no? So what does that look like for them? Like, do all of them just say, hey, will you be my girlfriend? Or, hey, will you be my boyfriend?
Me and you kind of talked about this yesterday, but for the audience who got the inside of our conversation. Mm-hmm. So what happened is there's the episode where, like, dude was like, hey, I don't feel a love connection here. I don't think we're a match. He's like, but I like you. You're a good person. Can we still be friends? And she's like, sure. And that was that. They was cool. And they are cool. So now they're in a whole other season. And there's a girl that he's interested in. And he actually invited the girls that he are cool with now. With a couple of with his male friends, too. And, like, they was at, like, a cookout or something at his house. You know? And they was just hanging out. Like, they were just really hanging out as friends. I was sitting there thinking to myself, how adult is that? Because let me let you know right now, I can imagine me telling somebody after a date, hey, I don't really feel a love connection here. I just think you cool. You know, can we be friends? She might be like, yeah, sure. But I'm here to let you know, that girlfriend conversation that she gonna have with her girlfriends, oh man, chances are I'm not gonna be that dude. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna go a whole nother way. It's gonna be like, girl, he had the nerve to tell me I ain't this type. Da 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 da. And I was like, yo, like, hey, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm not ready to eat for everybody.
Right. Absolutely. Now, now let's get into what rejection or how we should respond to rejection. Because we mentioned a little bit about how people who are on the spectrum, who, you know, with autism, how this show portrays how they date, how they interact with people, how they say, you know, no, I'm not interested. Let's shift into what should we be doing, those who are not on the spectrum? How should we be responding when it comes to rejection? Okay, when we find out, like, that we're not a match, you know, is it that we have to be, you know, I'll say sweet when it comes to our words? And I say you have to be mean and nasty, but a lot of people think being sweet means beating around the bush. No, you can still be, you know, on point, clear, you know, blunt without being nasty. Right.
It's not how you say it. So,
hold on. Wait. Before you go into that, we got to take a quick break. So y'all don't go nowhere. If you are cooking dinner on the road or whatever, tap into JQLM Radio through the app. All right, go to the website if you want, egoentertainmentnet.com/JQLM-radio. Get it on your Alexa or whatever. All right, listen while you're doing your thing. Hold tight, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, all right? And we are talking about love on the spectrum. This is Relationshipology here on JQLM Radio. All right. So for those of you who are just tuning in, you are tuned in to Relationshipology with your girl, Lady J, and
your boy, Keith Omar.
Right here on JQLM Radio, a division of Ego Entertainment Network. And we've been talking about love on the spectrum. Should we be mimicking or following their example, those who are autistic and how they are dating as portrayed on this show, Love on the Spectrum, this new show, Love on the Spectrum? So before the break, we were talking about you know, what should we be doing or how should we be responding to rejection? Like when we decide that, oh, this person's not a good fit or we're not compatible. Because let's be honest, a lot of people get in their feelings. They're mad. They're upset. You all kind of names. They go on and talk to they homies or their homegirls and tell them about, you know, it's almost like, how dare you? As if you're going to be everyone's cup of tea. That's just not realistic. So what are some of the things that we should be doing in response to someone letting us know that, hey, we're not a good fit?
You know, I'm always amongst the speak on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like to leave someone with an idea that, oh, there's going to be a second date. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, now they're constantly in contact with me and I'm not feeling them. So mm-hmm. That's not my program. I'm the kind of person that I'm blunt. I'm going to be upfront with it. Hey, listen, I like you, but I don't see us being a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I like you. Mm-hmm. So I would much rather still get to know who you are as a person. And maybe, you know, we could be something outside of a couple. You know, maybe we can be friends, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's typically my approach with it. I've been mm-hmm. met with mixed replies with that. Mm-hmm. I got a lot, you know, quite a few women are cool with it, and I'm still cool with all of them to this day. And then there's some women that's almost appalled. Like, how dare you not like me? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with you that you don't like me? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not attracted to you. You know, like, so when you say that, that's even more offensive to them. I'm not attracted to you. I find you attractive, but that don't mean I have to be attracted to you.
Right.
We just fit. I mean, there's just certain things that you like that I don't like. There's certain things that I like that you ain't rocking with. You know, mm-hmm. we're at odds when it comes to raising children, how you know, we're going to raise them. We at odds on how our household is supposed to be ran.
Mm-hmm.
Not a match, right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So. I think for me, 9 times out of 10, I'm not even going to want to be your friend. Like, that's just me. If we're not a good match and we're not compatible, then yeah, it's going to be a no for me. Because because you are already interested in me, I don't want there to be any, you know, misunderstanding as far as whether you think you got a chance, if, you know, or any of that. So I'm probably not going to be your friend. You know, you're somebody who maybe, you know, I've met your acquaintance. That's it. Now, if we were in a relationship already, you know, we decided to split ways and we're cool. That's one thing. But if we're just meeting and we went on a couple of dates and I decided, yeah, this is probably not going to be, you know, what's best for me and we're not compatible and I'm not interested in moving forward, we're not going to be friends 9 times out of 10. And again, it's nothing personal. It's just that, like I said, at being a female and being in that situation way too many times, because you always think that there's a chance. You always think that there's a chance. And then I've had real life stalkers and I'm not trying to deal with none of that. You know, like, just no, just shut it down.
I totally get it. Fortunately enough, I've not had that situation. Oh, wait, hold on. I've had a stalker or two. I'll take that back. I have had a stalker or two. Dang, man.
I've had real life.
I was in my 20s and early 30s when that happened. So, you know, me moons have passed since then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't have those issues now.
when it's not amicable, okay, and one person decides that, you know, I'm not attracted to you or this is not going to work, mm-hmm. and the other person completely flips out. Because I've had people, and I've had dudes, you know, cuss me out. And nowadays, you've seen videos where men will, like, they near try to kill you when you don't want to talk to them. And it's crazy. You know, one lady got acid thrown in her face. It was just crazy. So when people flip all the way out, like, how do you respond? Because you shouldn't be scared to say no.
You got to make sure you, first of all, I've always told my sisters, cousins, female friends, make sure you're in public with people you don't have a real good clue or handle on. So, you know, with the first time date, you all are going to meet up. Don't allow him to come to your home. Go meet mm-hmm. that person. You know, meet them out. In fact, I am a huge component of, because, you know, I got a lot of female friends. I actually probably have more female friends than male friends that are really friends too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got female friends I've been rocking with for 15, 20, 30 years. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, my circle of friends, we all kind of hang out together. Like, we have different social circles, but we all know each other. We might not all hang out all the time, but, you know, Dana knows Lamont. Lamont knows Christy knows Adam. Adam knows Keisha. Keisha knows Derek. Derek knows TJ. TJ, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we all know each other. We all familiar with each other. We've all, you know, we all are kind of cut the same way too. You know what I mean? So somebody got something new, I'll get a phone call sometimes and be like, yo, I kind of want you to check him out. Tell me what you think. You know, like, all right, cool. I'll tell you what. Why don't you bring him to this event? So that is more pressure of someone feeling like they're being set up, you know, to be critiqued.
Right.
But also you're in a public space with love and trust.
Right. Now, when we talk about the difference between those who are on the spectrum and us, when it comes to conflict, because I've seen, you know, some autistic people they are really focused on and do well with a consistent, what do you want to call it? A consistent routine, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get out of that routine, it kind of, you know, causes them to have a lot of anxiety or throws them off, a lot of them. And so, and when they're unhappy or they can't do something or have something, a lot of them kind of, you know, have their little episode where they flip out, you know, and sometimes it can get violent. But with those of us who are not on the spectrum, that are not, I'll say, or we were not taught how to have self-control when we can't get our way, or when someone does something that we don't like, a lot of us, you know, we allow our emotions to drive us. And so in that regard, I think that we are the same. So what would you say is the difference, or is there anything that we should be paying attention to or following when it comes to an example of those who are on the spectrum and those who are not when it comes to conflict?
Well, I think on the spectrum, to, because they deal with, you know, people for the most part that are very high functional. I think there's a lot of interviewing and, you know, kind of looking before they even get on the show, that I'm quite sure there's a lot to try to figure out if this person would be good for TV, because I've seen, one of the first shows I saw this weekend, there was a gentleman on there that he was nervous. And when he's nervous, like, he tends to kind of like squat over. So he was at the table day and like he was laying his head on the table. You know, when talking to his date, because he was just so nervous, and something that kind of helped calm him, you know what I'm saying? And they had to, you know, actually from the inside of the restaurant to the outside of the restaurant on the patio, he was more relaxed.
Okay.
So there's I think there's I would gather there's an interview process and I don't even want to say meet and greet, or more like a trial run to hang out with the person for a day or so to see how they function throughout a normal day. You know what I mean? So they can understand, okay, this person would be good for the show, but this person, we might have some issues because of this. Or, you know, I think there's an extensive, you know, background of figuring out who would be good and who wouldn't. So they're not just, you know, selecting as if we would be selected for like a bachelor or something. You know what I mean?
Right. And then even some of the people who aren't on the show, because, I mean, let's be honest, there are other people that aren't on the show that are out here dating with, you know, on the spectrum, you know, and even those who are on, like, let's say Pop the Balloon. I hate that show, but, you know, Pop the Balloon. But I mean, not everybody you're going to see on TV. And I just thought that, you know, that was interesting too, when it comes to conflict, because when you are dating yes, you're getting to know the person, but a lot of times you still are going to have conversations where either you're going to have to agree to disagree because you're not going to agree on everything. And that's when you start to learn whether or not, okay, this is somebody who I could see myself with, or this is somebody who I, you know, I don't see myself with, you know? So when it comes to, like I said, those who are on the spectrum, their response to things that make them uncomfortable or anxiety or, you know, things they don't like is completely different than ours. And it's than the way we would deal with it. But then again, it's not, I don't want to say it's something that they can't control, but in essence, it is. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not a process. It's yeah. just how you, like, for example, for the longest, like, a lot of people don't know that I'm dyslexic. So, like, it surprises a whole lot of people when they actually be like, wait, hold on, you're dyslexic? You know, but you read well, you do this well. Look, it took a whole lot of, you know, trial and error and training for me to disguise it to where you don't know it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm 50. So for 50 years, I figured out how to, you know, blend in. But mm-hmm. your boy is dyslexic. Like, you know, if I'm reading a sentence, I have to concentrate, because if I'm not, I will mess around and read that thing in diagonal instead of straight across. I would mm-hmm. be on paragraph number 6, and I just started the first paragraph. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just... So it's just how you process it. And a lot of them, like, especially if you watch the show, you'll see some that are way more higher functioning than some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But what you will see is you will see a genuine want to mm-hmm. and a genuine willingness. And I mm-hmm. think it, man, I just think it's so dope. Like, this is why it's my new favorite show, because there is not, like, even when it's not a good match, it ends well. Like, it typically ends well. Like, they like, we could be friends. Sure, we could be friends. And it's just so genuine. Like, you can tell it's not, hey, we could be friends. No, I ain't going to talk to you ever again.
Yeah.
they're like, we could be friends. And 3 days later, they'll all just have a cool conversation.
Yeah. Yep. So, and I think that another interesting aspect of it would be the intimacy. So we all know that a lot of autistic people don't like touch. And then there are some who are overly, you know, touchy.
So,
you know,
oh, I'm on right now. And there's a young lady, she's dating this dude. They've been dating for a while. And she's trying to get busy. Like, when I say she's trying to get busy, she's trying to get busy. She wants your boy, I'll tell you. And my guy, he's Catholic. He don't believe in premarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if I don't want to spoil it for nobody who ain't seen it, so I ain't going to talk too much about it. But these are the things that they actually show on the show. Like, she actually made an animation, like a comic book, like almost like a comic book animation on her tablet
mm-hmm.
of them, you know, going on a date. And at the end of the day, it ends with them going to bed together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's dope. I was like, look, baby girl want to get busy. And she has this open conversation with her parents. You know, her parents mm-hmm. was like, they're very supportive. And they, you know, they talk to her about it. It's mm-hmm. what I love is I love the fact, like, they have a family dynamic as well. Because these mm-hmm. families are involved with each other. You know what I'm saying? Because, mm-hmm. if, like I said, if you haven't been around autistic people, you know, these families, they've been patient with these people their whole lives. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's a patience level. Oh, man, listen. I don't even know if I could be that patient. I pray that I can be. I pray that I can be. But I'm trying to tell you, like, just watching the show, you can see the challenges. You can see it. And that's what's making it even more encouraging, because these families are so, like, there's a couple now. They've been together for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years, this couple have been together. They met season one, they're in season three. And they've been together for 3 years. And these families have been together for 3 years. Because these families can totally understand what each other's going through. And they see the growth. And I think that's the beauty of it. You see the growth of these, not just individuals, but you see the growth as a couple as well. And you see how they calm each other. You see how you like, there's like this, my favorite person on the show, his name is Connor. I love Connor. Connor is like, he's so dope to me. But he was so nervous and so frazzled by his girlfriend because he thinks she's the beautiful thing in the world. And as he should, like mm-hmm. he found his match, because it ain't been easy for him to find his match. But he found his match, and she is a perfect match for him. How she, like, she's able to help control his anxiety mm-hmm. when he's about to go off the rails. She can calm him down in a, like, with a snap of
I think
the
that
right things to say.
I think that a lot of I've seen some autistic people in relationships with non-autistic people. One of the shows that I love that I watched was, I believe, The Good Doctor, and the doctor plays an autistic guy, and he's in a relationship and marries and has a child with someone who is not autistic, but someone who is sensitive to his condition, right? And so I think that having that dynamic, you know, they say that opposites attract. You have to be a person with patience in order to navigate someone. So apparently he's extremely high functioning. He's a surgeon. He is phenomenal, you know, at what he does, and super smart, but he still has challenges, social challenges, you know, again, with interacting with, yes, he's able to love, he's able to, but he has a hard time with, let's say, empathy, if you will, having bedside manner, because he just says things, you know, blunt to the point. And so when you think about something like that, and you think about relationships and dating, I think that a lot of us who are not on the spectrum, we have to see each other through the kind of like their eyes, the way that they see each other. And those who are open to dating someone who is on the spectrum, because if you think about it, we can equate that with us showing grace, right? If you think about it. So, hey, what's up, DL? If you think about it, we can equate that with us showing grace, because you have to be a special kind of person to be able to deal with those social issues, you know, saying that person has because it, some of it entails, you know what I'm saying, how they may respond or react to maybe something that you're going through, a crisis that you're going through. Maybe it's physical.
A basketball game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hold on. People. Yes. So hold on, guys. We have to take another break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to like give our final thoughts on the topic and maybe give some tips and tools on what we can do to be more authentic and a more genuine person without hitting agendas when we are dating. Because, I mean, let's be honest, this dating pool is it's for the birds. You understand me? Because I don't want no parts of it. So stick and stay. Don't go anywhere. You are tuned in to Relationshipology with your girl, Lady J, and Keith Omar, right here on JQLM Radio, a division of Ego Entertainment Network. All right. And we are back. You are tuned into Relationshipology with your girl, Lady J, and Keith Omar, right here on JQ Bellum Radio, division of Ego Entertainment Network. So we've been talking about love on the spectrum and how it differs or how it is similar to how those of us who are not on the spectrum dates. And so we talked about the initial interaction, the conversation with deciding whether or not you're going to move forward and be a couple. We talked about some of the social, you know, barriers, some of the intimacy, you know, we talked a little bit about intimacy and how, what that may look like for those who are in the spectrum and those who are not. Of course, listen, those who are not, we have lost our ever loving minds. We're not even going to get to that. That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show, because some of us be jumping from bed to bed. But anyway, let's see. And we talked about rejection. And so what does that look like when they reject each other, not in a bad way, but just saying, hey, you know, this is not going to work for me, or we aren't compatible, or I'm not attracted to you, versus how those of us who are not on the spectrum respond. So in giving our final thoughts on the topic, what would you say, and giving some tips, what would you say are some of the things that we could learn from them and how we should implement them?
Number one that stood out to me is, you know, the genuine me trying to get to know that person. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about who, you know, it's not about what they have, where they work, you know, where they went to school, what kind of degree they got, this, that, and the third. It's all about the character of the person. Is this a good person? Is that person not only a good person, do they know how to treat me? Is that person going to be patient enough with me? Do they want to learn and grow with me? Like, right. You know, they genuinely just look for those things. That's it. They keep it real simple. And right. when you see them find somebody, you literally see it. You be like, yo, that's a perfect fit. Like, you be right. looking at them like, they found it. They got it. It's a perfect fit. And I honestly believe it's a perfect fit because they just went to the foundation and they figure, you know, like I think all relationships should be, it's all about the character, because if we're going to build together, we're going to get to where we want to go.
Absolutely. 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 Now you said something and that's a topic for another day. You know, building together, a lot of us want people who are already fully built and have their own empire built and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, they ain't even started on their own. So let's just start there. They don't have no bricks. But but when it comes to the initial interaction, the fact that they don't send representatives and they are literally being themselves, authentically being themselves, they're not trying to be like anyone else. They're not trying to meet your, you know, unrealistic list of expectations and all this other kind of stuff. Like, it is, this is who I am. This is what you get. If you like me, great. If you don't, great. You know, and that's what it should be for us as well. That's how it should be. And we should be able to sit down with somebody and not feel like we have to be somebody else just for somebody else to like us, right? Mm-hmm. If you are unattracted to someone the very first time you meet them, like if y'all have just like met online or on a dating app or something like that, and you meet them in person and you're not attracted to them and you know it, how about just being honest in a polite way, all right, when you meet them, and don't string the person along? You know what I mean? And then if you are the person on the receiving end of, you know, hey, you know, unfortunately, I don't think this is going to work. I'm just not feeling, you know, this as much as I thought I would, or I'm not attracted to you. Fine. Just say, hey, okay, if y'all decide to be friends or cool, great. If not, great. I think that we have got to get to a point where we understand that we are not for everybody and everybody is not for us. You shouldn't take it personal. And a lot, I think the problem is, and I'm going to just say it, is that a lot of us think we are, I'll say, on a level higher than what we really are when it comes to the physical appearance. Because you may be a 2 to this person over here, but to this person over here, you may be a 7 or 8. It just depends on the person's preferences and what they deem as attractive. Just because you're attractive to this person over here and this person over here doesn't mean that this person over here is going to find you attractive. And that's just it. Or your personality. Maybe that person, if you're a messy person or a toxic, 9 out of 10 people who are not messy and not toxic, they're not going to like your personality. You know what I'm saying? And that's just, it just is what it is. So I think we have to be more realistic about who we are and what we are and what we like. Because if you are not complimenting what you're looking for, that's not going to work. And so when dating, I think we have to keep that in mind. Don't just look at what you want, but look at who you are, because who you are is going to have a, or going to play a major role in what you attract.
I agree. I totally agree. Another thing too is we don't need to think. It's kind of like this. I always said, understand that you are flawed. You know, I think all too often, a lot of people tend to think that they're perfect. Like, you know, they are the answer to every test. It's fine to know that you're flawed. And it's fine to know that you're not for everybody. Like, I tell people all the time, I am not ready to eat for everybody. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And honestly, I worry if you are somebody who's, you know, consider yourself that could be with anybody, because You definitely mm-hmm. not for me. You right. know what I'm saying? Because that means anybody can have access to you a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's just something to think about. Like, I've never known a rare treasure to be something that everybody can obtain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if you think of yourself as a precious gem, or you think of yourself as something that's rare and unique, then how in the hell can everybody be, you know, have access to it?
That part. And on top of that, I'd say that we also have to stop being so shallow. While they are looking at, it kind of reminds me how God looks at our hearts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He sees the heart. He doesn't see the outward. He sees what's inside. And I think that a lot of us, if we use discernment more, we would choose better. And mm-hmm. if we learn from the lessons, if we implemented the lessons that we learned based on the mistakes that we've made in the past, we would also choose better, continue to choose better, like continue yeah. to elevate, you know what I'm saying, as we go through that process. I think that we have to stop being so shallow. Okay, this person may be, and I'm not saying if you're attracted, for instance, to somebody that is petite or just a little thick, you know, and mm. that person is not, I say morbidly obese, but if they are a little bit heavier than what you like, that's something that can be changed. You know what I'm saying? They can lose weight. You know what I'm saying?
But if you they meet, they meet.
Exactly. But if like they meet everything else.
My face has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a lot of us are going to go up and down, but I'm just saying, I'm just using it as an example. Like, that can be changed. Y'all work out together, but this person meets all, you know, they meet all your other, all the other qualities that you're looking for in a husband or a wife. The same thing for women. Okay, maybe he don't have, you know, a Ferrari or a car. First of all, girl, you riding a bus, so you lucky if he got anything. But anyway, if he don't have a Ferrari or making, you know, 100K a year, but he at 70K a year and he's a great father and he own his own house and all sort of kind of stuff. Girl, you dumb. If you don't jump on that, and he is your preference as far as what he looks like, we have to stop being so shallow and start looking at the person. Because what happens is a lot of us, we get so caught up in the materialism and the surface stuff that we forget that we also have to take inventory of who the person is. Because, okay, you get with them and now they're hitting you upside the head. Or now this person is cheating on you. And now this person, you know what I'm saying? So you was concerned about all the wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And that's why I think they get it right. Because they're just truly looking for a good person to navigate through life with for the rest of their life. That, you know, that's willing. And I use the word willing because just imagine how difficult it is for two people to be on a spectrum mm-hmm. and they know they have certain hangups.
Right.
But they're willing to work through those to go through life together.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think
it's so dope. I love the show. Whoever came up with this idea, whoever came up with it, God bless them. Because, man, like, this is a show that, you know, I think everybody should watch. Because mm-hmm. There is no way you can watch a full episode and not find joy in it. And unless you just Ebenezer Scrooge every day, I mean, or the devil, there's no way you can't find joy in watching this show. Like, you find yourself rooting for people. You find yourself liking certain couples together. You know what I'm saying? Like, you find yourself invested in one episode. In an hour's time, I done got three new people. Like, I got three favorite people. I'm like, okay, I like Connor. I like my boy Tyler. You know, like, I'm like, yo, I got people that I rock with. I'm watching. Like, I feel like Connor should have his own show. Like, he's that animated. And it's honest, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so honest. And I love his family. Like, I like how they interact with him. I like how the families are invested in the girlfriends and the boyfriends and the people that they date. Like, it's just dope. You know what I'm saying? It's a dope show.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this is an interesting conversation. And for those who, you know, want to go check out the show, I would suggest that you do go check out the show, because maybe you can get a few pointers. And when it comes to dating and determining, you know, how you should interact and what questions you should ask and how you should present yourself to someone, you know, instead of, you know, trying to be someone that you're not. And really, when you feel like you have to do that, you have to become someone that you're not just to get the attention of somebody else, then that person, one, is definitely not for you, because if they don't like you for you or love you for you, then they're not for you. And two, that says a lot about how you see yourself and how comfortable you are in your own identity. And so, and if you don't know who you are, then you definitely don't need to be dating until you meet you, until you know who you are, and until you can own who you are and walk boldly in that. And so, because nobody deserves to be with, I'll say, a representative, you know, or a made up individual. Nobody deserves to be catfished in that way.
Yeah, out the gate, you're duping them, because you are not what it is that you're signing up for.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are down to the last minute and a half of the show. Make sure you all go subscribe now to egoentertainmentnet.com so that you stay up to date on opportunities, events, and all kind of stuff that's coming your way. Go register also or subscribe for free to egotvnetwork.live. That's egotvnetwork.live. Of course, again, you all know our movie I Survived Suicide is on there. We have some other content on there, and new content is coming your way this Sunday. So y'all know we have been in production since February, so we are rolling out all of this stuff. You will get to take a look at Sassy, Sexy, Ambitious, Sophisticated Sisters Chat on Ego TV. That's an Ego original talk show. Also, Run and Tell That. That's a new talk show as well. Go check it out. Behind the Fame web series. That's on there now as well. So make sure that you all go subscribe. You go add Ego TV to your Roku channels, okay? So that you can watch on your television. If you want, you can watch on the website. As I said, Ego TV Network, the live, or watch from your phone. And the actual mobile apps will be coming soon. All right. And also get your tickets, Beaufort, South Carolina, and Kansas City, Missouri. Get your tickets for the Don't Give Up Tour. Go to egoentertainmentnet.com/events and choose whatever city you want to go to for the tour. Get your tickets now. All right. And you've been tuned into Relationshipology with your girl, Lady J, and
your boy, Keith Omar.
All right. And until next time, y'all, we will see y'all on the 4th.
2 weeks from
tonight. Thursday. Yeah. Yeah. 4th Thursday of this month. All right. For Relationshipology right here on JQLM Radio. See y'all later.
The inspiration for the songs because of you. The inspiration for the songs because of you. The inspiration for the songs because of you.